and welcome to Legal News Reach, the official podcast for the National Law Review. Stay tuned for a discussion on the latest trends in legal marketing, SEO, law firm best practices, and more.
I'm Rachel, the editorial manager for the National Law Review.
And I'm Jessica, a web content specialist here at the National Law Review, and we're the co-hosts for Legal News Reach.
In this episode, we're excited to talk to Stephanie Marone, founder and CEO of Stephanie Marone Consulting and the social media butterfly. Stephanie, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, guys, for having me on. So I'm Stephanie Marone. I have worked with law firms and at law firms for over 20 years. I was an in-house marketer at Sullivan & Cromwell and Paul Weiss, Morrison & Foerster, Mayer Brown, Proskauer, and then a mid-sized firm in New York, Tarter Krinsky. And then about 2 years ago, I went and started my own business where I'm a consultant to law firms and other companies in the legal industry. And I help them with everything under the sun, marketing related, and then also with a focus on social media. And I live in New York with my two French bulldog puppies who will definitely make an appearance today, as I warned you guys before we started recording.
Great. We're excited to get more of your insights here on social media and content creation. So one of the main topics that we wanted to focus on today, and it's been sort of a through line in our whole first season here, is sort of trends in the legal industry and adjusting to COVID-19. So I was wondering if you could start off by talking a little bit about the trends you're currently seeing in the legal market today.
They're talking about the entire world right now as like the great resignation. There are lots of people leaving their jobs, going to work other places where there is more flexibility, where there's more work-life balance. And that has created a huge problem for law firms of every single size. So I guess it's a lot of different things, right? The industry was forced to innovate as a result of COVID. People worked from home. They were innovating when it came to how they did business with their clients, and technology became front and center. The work was sort of stagnant for a little bit and people were nervous to hire, but now they're back in full swings and they're having a lot of trouble. I'm actually working with a number of law firms on recruiting marketing strategies for the first time in a very long time, again, because it's a candidate's market. There's so much content out there. So one of the things I was super nervous about was I going to have anything to do? And my phone never stopped ringing because firms that are smart were doing marketing during COVID, helping their clients navigate what was going on. But then they saw it as an opportunity later on. And then all those firms that said, oh, we would never use social media. Guess what? They're using social because we are never going to be the same. Any lawyer who said, oh, I'm just going to take my clients to golf or go out to dinner, well, you're still going to have trouble doing that because a lot of people are not ready. It's basically we're in a new frontier. We are, you know, I talk about the last 2 years have been like pivoting. Every single thing you thought you knew and that you were doing, you had to like make a sharp right and then a sharp left right afterward. And you went off the grid because the GPS didn't even have those roads on the map, right? So it's been a crazy time over the last 18 months. And firms that don't get it are behind the times. Any firm that's requiring you to go back to the office every day is going to have a really tough time getting their people to be excited about working.
Right. And yeah, I think one of the interesting things that we've heard so far in doing these interviews is the COVID-19 pandemic was like a catalyst to get law firms to change and do a lot of the things that people have probably been wanting for a really long time, specifically remote work, probably a better work-life balance, things like that. You mentioned briefly like working with law firms to come up with sort of recruiting marketing. What does that look like? Like how are firms trying to differentiate themselves and really stand out compared to others right now?
My very first job in legal marketing was working at Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton & Garrison. And my job was to start their alumni relations program and to help them with recruiting marketing. One of the programs we did was to interview lawyers and find out we're getting the candidates in the door, but we're not closing the deal or they're choosing another firm. And what we found was it was a lot of things. It was behavioral issues in terms of interviewing. It was making the candidates feel important. It was the way they were selling the firm, so to speak, you know, communicating what it's like to work here. Full circle, 20 years later, now I'm getting asked by law firms to help them do exactly what I did 20 years ago, which was to help them tell the story of their firm, why a recruit should join the firm, how to promote their wins, without sounding too boastful, which is something I tell people all the time. You know, you don't want to put all of your awards everywhere. Candidates don't care about that. They care about the work. They care about the mentoring. They care about the work-life balance. And not everybody wants to make partner anymore. It's not actually the goal of most lawyers. Because a generation shift, you know, Z and Xers. No, I'm an Xer. The other one, millennials. I learned so much from millennials because I grew up in a different generation and their needs and wants are different. So one of the things I'm doing is looking at the materials on the website, crafting language that speaks to recruits directly instead of legalese. So one of the things I'm working on is like a glass door strategy for one firm where, you know, listen, employees now have a voice. You can't just treat everyone poorly and expect that no one's going to find out about it. We have checks and balances now, and people are more empowered than they've ever been before. So making sure, you know, your glass door is okay. And that, you know, it's not just glass door. There's obviously Indeed, there's Chambers Associate, there's other places, but making sure that you're putting your best foot forward everywhere and that you're thinking strategically about how to market yourself to these different audiences. And so I hope that helps, but it's not enough to have that great name on the door anymore. If people know you to not be a great place to work or not have a great culture, you're going to have to work harder to get those people to either want to come work for you or stay, because a lot of firms are losing a lot of their lawyers right now in this great resignation time, and they're going to where the grass is greener. So firms have to actually spend time retaining their talent. And that's another thing that I work on in terms of helping them come up with strategies for development for associates and development for other people who may be in danger of leaving. It's a whole new world, guys.
Right. And I think that's really interesting. You bring up sites like Glassdoor and Indeed, because like, if you are in the job market, you're looking to apply a place and already has like terrible reviews. Like that's like people getting turned away before they even apply. So
gone are the days when all that was out there was what the firm was saying about themselves or the organization. But now, you know, you have to actually stand by what you say you are. You have to be that kind of place. And if not, people only write reviews when they're really, really happy or really, really, really angry. And, you know, so another thing I work on are alumni relations programs, which is like that full life cycle of an associate from the time, you know, from recruiting to the time they're there to then they leave. And so many law firms don't have like a very strong alumni relations program, or they don't think about, you know, even people who they've let go or are asked to find another job. It doesn't always work out. It's okay, but don't exclude them from the alumni program. Include them. You want them to be part of the community. You never know who's going to be a potential recruit, a client, return to you, or badmouth you out there. So, you know, we want to leave people with a feeling of good and respect, even when it doesn't work out.
Right. And that sort of plays into what I want to ask next is sort of like that overarching idea of a firm's marketing efforts, like their branding, things like that, and how that's been sort of impacted by COVID-19. So how can attorneys and firms really keep up with their marketing during this time? Like, how can they launch like these, you know, efforts to build their alumni relations and things like that?
Yeah. So one of the things I was seeing in the beginning, the heyday of like, you know, when COVID had just hit, was every firm was doing the exact same thing. They launched a coronavirus resource center. And I think I actually counted, it was like 30 something law firms had the exact same name for their resource section. And most of them were using the same stock images. It was that, you know, red and black photo of the COVID cell structure. And they would put that on their websites and in all their materials. And all that did was scare the crap out of everybody, right? So, and you see that same image online as well. So I was just saying, I was saying to firms, like, differentiate yourself, be different, be pivot, be understanding, be empathetic to your clients and your recruits and anybody who's out there. You know, let's not rely on email. I don't know about you guys, but I've never used Zoom before COVID. And I grew up in a law firm environment and tech was not necessarily always like at the front and center. So it required us to all adapt and innovate. And there were a lot of people who, you know, fought it tooth and nail, but still did it. So I guess my thought was that COVID changed everything. It forced us to be more human. I think we shed a lot of the formalities. I think we needed to innovate. We were forced to do it. I think the firms that are still putting out content without thinking that habits have changed. So like, obviously we're on our mobile devices more. you've got to pivot to that. If you're not using LinkedIn, you're way behind the times and you need to use it now. So social is such a big part of your strategy as a lawyer and then also as a firm. One thing that happened a lot during COVID where people were doing webinars and they realized that they didn't necessarily have to give CLE credit or be accredited to do it, that people just wanted to get together and learn about different issues. So I see firms doing that and I'm so happy they're doing it, but I don't see them maximizing their webinars. So they'll do a webinar once, they won't take the recording from the webinar and then have that transcribed and then it becomes a client alert or, you know, an article that they could place in a third-party publication. They don't use it for social media posts. It's what I call one and done, and it just goes into like, it disappears into thin air. So I guess I still see law firms need help in terms of maximizing their content assets and using them more efficiently and more effectively.
Right. And I think, you know, it's sort of like work smarter, not harder. Why not repurpose it? You know,
make your content work harder and smarter for you is something I literally say once a day. So, yeah.
So you sort of touched upon just how much COVID has changed everything. And you spoke a little bit about webinars and that was a way for people to sort of stay connected. Are there sort of any other ways that attorneys and law firms in general can build their brands and businesses while social distancing is still on people's minds?
Yeah. So obviously LinkedIn is so important. I would say, you know, social media in general, but I think for the majority of lawyers and law firms, it's going to be LinkedIn. That is, you know, where 750 plus million people gather for business networking and information. So if you're not on LinkedIn, you should get on LinkedIn. You should build a strong profile. The profile should have keywords that describe what you do, how you do it, and for whom you do it. So I say there are three building blocks of LinkedIn. One is your profile. So get that completely done and optimize, you know, again, the bio. Don't put like Mr. Smith is blah, blah, blah. And don't brag about all your awards. It turns people off on social. Number one is your profile. Number two are your connections. So a lot of people just sit and wait for people to come to them and connect with them. And it's a two-way street. So you should be actively thinking about who you know from different walks of life, from your past. The more people in your network, the stronger your network will be for when you want to do number three, which is post content. And that's where I find most lawyers fall short. They don't know what to do or how to do it. And it makes a huge difference. There's only 1% of people globally using LinkedIn to actively create content. So there's a huge opportunity and lawyers aren't, in my opinion, taking advantage of it. Or when they do, they sound just like everybody else. So I want to encourage them to do more of that. And if they don't know what to share, they could go to their company page and share from there. There are a lot of lawyers in the world. So anything you can do to remain top of mind with touch points that are useful, that are authentic, and that are, you know, meaningful is important. So that's why content helps. So I tell people all the time, you know, they'll ask me, you know, how do I get better ranked in Google and how do I build my brand? Start writing. You guys know this because of what you guys do, but most people don't follow your blog. You have to push out the content to people. Most people don't follow your client alerts. This is why we have social media, email marketing, content syndicators, like what you guys do, and a whole host of other tools that most lawyers don't realize like what's going on behind the scenes. So you can write a great piece of content, but if you don't promote it effectively and efficiently, it doesn't matter. No one will see it. You know, if you're thinking about going back to quote unquote normal, you're thinking about it all wrong. Firms that get that and use content and use webinars and then of course meet with your clients in person. There's no substitution for that, but this world is not going back to the way it was. We will be using social, we will be using content marketing more. And I hope that lawyers realize that and firms realize it. And then firms do more to promote those things and encourage their people to do those things.
So you've got all this experience in the legal industry, so many years trying to get people all the tools they need with social media content. Can you tell me about Women Who Wow and why you started that?
So Women Who Wow is a group that I started. It was actually just supposed to be for Women's History Month in March 2020. And I started it before the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened. I kept getting recommendations for other women. And the series took on a life of its own. And so Women Who Wow became an ongoing series featuring women, mostly in the legal industry, giving their ideas and their thoughts and advice on their careers and how they've gotten to where they are, advice that they would give their younger selves. You know, I really felt like there was a void in the industry for something like this. I thought we needed something where women could be spotlighted and celebrated without expecting anything in return. So it lives on my blog. It's a page. I have over 100 people so far profiled, and it keeps going. And then that sort of started, you know, from the series, then we created events, and they're all free, and they are various events learning from women. So it's various different advice, you know, from career advice to even just kind of finding more balance in your life, and everyone and anyone is welcome. And so it's been great to build community at a time when I felt so isolated and needing community. And I think no matter where you are in your career, there's something for you. It's just a great way to network. I love this series, and it's meant a lot to me to find community and to support other women.
And I think that's so great, because the legal industry on its head seems to be more maybe male dominated as an industry. So bringing women together for different professional topics, I think could be really beneficial. Is that similar to why you started it, like kind of your thinking behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you work at a law firm, there's a lot of class differentials, right? There's staff, people like me, the marketing person, and then there's the attorneys. And very often there are benefits given to the attorneys that aren't necessarily always given to the staff. And there still is a hierarchy at law firms. I also know that there's a lot of disparity between women in law making partner than men. It is harder for women to make partner. From the day they step into the door of a law firm, they are automatically at a disadvantage. And research backs me up. I spoke on a panel on this recently. And essentially, it's for a number of reasons. They're not part of the old boys club. There are more men. And it is harder for women to adjust, to balance everything, because sometimes and very often the onus of childcare and all that stuff falls on women. And so they wind up leaving. They don't make partners. They go and they go in-house, they go to smaller firms, or they leave the industry entirely, completely sort of like discouraged by what happened. And so, yes. And my idea was that women can learn so much from each other. So in terms of like talking about, you know, how you find balance, or how you've made it work, or to not be so hard on yourself, or what are your success tips? That is what I wanted people to be able to share with each other. I know so many of us have great advice, but no one asks, like, you know, how did you get to where you are? It's sort of like basic stuff. And I think there's a lot of wisdom that we could each share, and we could become better for it if we, you know, build a community. So that's what I was trying to do.
And I think that was perfect timing on your part, building a community like that when that pandemic started. We were already feeling very isolated. And then, you know, I'm sure there are, you know, just like women and other groups of people probably always have that sense of slight isolation in like an industry that they work in. So I like that that's, you know, why you brought them together and showcased a lot of people who have knowledge to share. What would you say to people who maybe don't have that support or would like that same support?
So I would say build a community, right? So I was missing it. I needed it. I created it. And I wanted to learn from these women. Join the Women Who Wow. I promise, you know, we're all over, and it is virtual. It's open to everybody. It's free, like I said. And I would say, you know, if you're at a firm, surround yourself with people either in person or online who are supporters and your cheerleaders, and find a mentor. And sometimes it's not organic. Sometimes you need to go actively find one. Sometimes it's not just one mentor. Sometimes it's multiple people who provide advice to you in different areas. But there are people love to give advice. They love to be asked, like, what would you do in this situation? Or tell me about your career. I think a lot of people are afraid to ask for things, ask for advice, ask for help. Don't be afraid to admit that maybe there are some times, you know, where you get in your own way or you need help. And I think I would just say we are all works in progress, and we need to be just a little kinder to ourselves too.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like just giving ourselves this patience. You know, not everyone was able to build a great career in like a day. So it definitely takes some time.
Part of the reason why I share so much on social, because I want people to know that they're not alone. helping others should be your guidepost when it comes to social, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a really great sort of segue into our next topic, which is social media and content strategy. We've spoken a little bit about LinkedIn, and we definitely think, you know, lawyers should be on that platform. How can lawyers really use LinkedIn to their benefit?
So I went over the three fundamentals before in terms of profile, connections, and then utilization of the platform, which is where most people fall flat. The other thing I see people do is promote themselves on social. Like, I'm seeing all these super lawyers rankings being posted, and they literally start the same way. I'm honored to be ranked, or I'm humbled to be ranked, or even worse, I'm honored and humbled to be ranked. It doesn't make you sound honored or humbled when you write it like that. And so I tell people, think about it differently. Tell a story. Why did you become a lawyer? Why did you join your firm? Who helped you on these matters? How did you get to where you are? Flip it around. Thank your clients. Thank the team that was in the office making those copies that got that deal done. It's all about being humble. People like to celebrate your successes, but they don't want you to sound like you're patting yourself too hard on the back. So it's just telling a story. And I tell people, show versus tell with everything. One of my other big pet peeves is if I write an article or I have a client alert, the lawyers will often publish it or share it without any introductory text. And that is like the worst thing you can do on social, because you're basically letting other people try to figure it out. And it doesn't rank well with your SEO, which LinkedIn has SEO too, by the way. So I tell people, write a synopsis in the beginning, tell people why you wrote this, why it's interesting. And, you know, I'm sure you guys understand this, but so many lawyers don't necessarily get to the point right off the bat or in the first a couple lines. And that is key on LinkedIn, because what LinkedIn does in the newsfeed is only show you the first two or three lines of a post. So if you don't capture anyone's attention in that time period, they're going to keep moving along the scroll. And so the whole goal of social is to stop the scroll. And if you don't have good content and you don't have good imagery, they'll keep scrolling. And I guess the other thing I would say is most lawyers don't think about LinkedIn. They think, I don't have the time for it. I don't need it. I'm good at what I do. I have business. Well, here's the thing. Your business could dry up tomorrow. Your competitors are on LinkedIn. I tell people all the time, you know, do it because you see other people do it, because you want to be part of it, and it is effective for them. The other thing is that you can use it for business development. So I call this low-hanging fruit, but it's the sections on LinkedIn where, so it's the notification section. It tells me about people's birthdays, which sounds trivial, but actually it's a touch point to get back in touch with someone and can open up a dialogue. I've seen this time and time again. So birthdays, work anniversaries, and new jobs. People don't usually send emails anymore when they get a new job. It's up to you to do the due diligence to find out where they've gone. And that's a great reason to get. Today, I got three notifications just today on people getting new jobs. So I would send a congratulatory note, and LinkedIn makes it so easy. You just have to hit a button, right? So these are touch points that enable you to get back in the realm of thinking with certain people. And I think I've seen it lead to new business, and I've seen people bring in business. A lot of my personal business comes from my presence on LinkedIn, helping others without the expectation of anything in return, posting content and learning the tools, the algorithm of LinkedIn, how to use hashtags effectively, when to post, and all of those things. So if a lawyer doesn't think it's worth their while, I can show them five examples of how it could be worth their while. And it's certainly not the only thing they should be doing, just like they shouldn't be relying on just writing articles or taking their clients for a golf game. It's part of the overall multidisciplinary marketing strategy today of a lawyer and a law firm that is necessary to build your brand and your business.
Right. And that sort of ties into another thing I was hoping to sort of get your thoughts on. We've spoken about LinkedIn, but Twitter and Facebook are also pretty big social media platforms. How can lawyers and firms use those platforms more effectively?
So lawyers have a lot of trouble with Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and it's not easy to build your brand on any of these platforms. So my advice on Facebook for lawyers is to, a lot of us post our personal stuff on Facebook. If there's a way that you can tie personal and professional together, do it. So say, you know, something like if you worked on a real estate deal, take a picture of the building and say, you know, I'm so proud to live in this city or to have worked on this deal. It means a lot. I've walked by this building a million times. Never did I think I would actually work on this. So I always tell people, be alert that everybody and anybody can be a potential client or a source of new business or an employee. So on Facebook, I would say just don't sound boastful. It's not the place to like post super lawyers. I don't think you should ever post that stuff personally, but other people would disagree with me. And then on Twitter. So Twitter moves a mile a minute. To be successful on Twitter, you need to post multiple times a day. And if you're not going to do that, then don't bother. But you could use Twitter as a news aggregator, which I see a lot of people do. So follow the accounts of your competitor law firms, follow other lawyers, and use ideas that you get from what they're writing to inspire you. Follow industry publications as well, trade show, conferences that are happening, obviously the major news outlets, because news is broken on Twitter. I get a lot of my news from just scrolling on Twitter. So lawyers can use it that way. Lawyers can also use Twitter to build relationships with reporters and congratulate them on things they've written and retweet them and stay in touch with them, because a lot of reporters have robust presences on Twitter. Instagram, whole other can of worms. I recommend you have two Instagrams, one personal that is private and one Instagram that is for work. I have two. You will not be successful on Instagram if you don't understand how to use the different types of content and hashtags. That's it. So there's reels and IGTV and regular posts and stories. If you don't know what this means, you should not post it. I would tell law firms and lawyers to claim your name, so at least you have the domain, but don't post in places also where your clients aren't. Go where your clients are. You don't have to be on TikTok. Please actually don't go on TikTok if you're a lawyer, in my opinion. You don't need to be on every platform. Go where your clients are. Focus first. And you have to alter the message for the medium. You can't post the same image on Instagram. You have to make it a square and you have to change the text and you have to use the at sign differently. And if this doesn't make sense to you, that means you are not ready to do this. It's a jungle. It's a social media jungle. And I would tell you to just go where your clients are and don't feel pressured to be on every platform.
Yeah. One of the other sort of overarching themes of our podcast season is like, just like, there's no one size fit all solution.
You have to be adaptable. And remember, the word of the entire 18 months is pivot, right? You have to pivot.
Sort of like rounding out our discussion on social media, what strategies have really been your tried and true?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I never thought I would start my own business, and you never know where your life is going to go. And I always worked in-house at law firms and I was always posting on social. Build your brand long before you ever think you need it, because someday you may. Now, whether I decide one day to go back in law firms, never say never, or I continue consulting with law firms, I was able to do it very easily because I had the presence on social. My advice is to start using social, to post. Even if you feel like, oh, no one cares what I have to say, why not you? Yes, they do. Certain people will. You won't be everyone's cup of tea, but you find your kind. You find people. And I'll say, you know, the more successful you get at it, the more naysayers you have, the more people who are not necessarily in your corner. And you just, you know, I talk about mean girls quite a bit in the Women Who Wow program, because we come across those at all stages of our lives. We just forget about them. And it can be mean men too, actually. And I find when people are like that, it's usually because something in you brings out something in them that makes them feel inadequate or insecure, or they're jealous about something. So keep going. There's no easy way to download every single LinkedIn post you've ever written, especially since like the dawn of time. You can download your articles, so like the long form ones, and you can download your contacts, but you can't do it with the posts. And so I keep an Excel spreadsheet of all of my posts and I reuse them. So don't reinvent the wheel every time. You can reuse your content. No one remembers. There's no way to spam anybody on LinkedIn. And even if they saw it, it's reinforcement then. So that's been another key to my success. And then the other one is helping others. It's propping up others. It's promoting others. It's when I see somebody doing something great, promoting and mentioning them on social. So for every three posts I do about something of mine, I'm promoting someone else. And that's Women Who Wow for me. It's putting the spotlight on other people. That's how you build really great relationships on social. And then people want to do good things for you because you're helping them. So So all of these have been part of my strategy, but it's sort of evolved over the years. And by the way, my posts sometimes tank completely. And I'll tell you that it gets discouraging, but you just keep going. You show up, you try different things, you keep posting, and you see, you look at what worked and what didn't. You look at the time of day, the analytics, all those things, and then just be open and be open to pivoting again your strategy so that you can adjust it. And, you know, it's not about the number of likes you get on a post. If I've helped five people, that's great. I don't need, you know, 1,000 likes on a post. It's nice when things do go viral. And the things, by the way, that have gone viral for me are when I post about a challenge, some advice like on being kind to others, which is really interesting. Something about mental health awareness and the Women Who Wow post. So it's not about, it's never when I post about like things and accomplishments of my own. Do what excites you, do what you find interesting, but do something.
That was a great conversation. Thanks again for joining us, Stephanie. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. I would encourage just, you know, stay on social, post and be visible.
Thank you for listening to the National Law Review's Legal News Reach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts for more episodes. For the latest legal news, or if you're interested in publishing and advertising with us, visit www.natlawreview.com. We'll be back soon with our next episode.